Welcome to the Berwyn United Methodist Church audio podcast, a place where we come together to celebrate faith, reflect on scripture, and engage with the message of the week. Whether you're on your commute, enjoying a quiet moment at home, or taking a walk, we're glad you're joining us in this time of worship. In today's episode, we will dive into Luke 19:29 to 44 and explore the story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, often called Palm Sunday. But did you know that in Luke's account, there's no mention of palm branches or shouts of Hosanna? Instead, we'll focus on the humble act of laying cloaks, reflecting on what it means to offer what we have for the sake of Christ's kingdom. So settle into this moment, breathe in and open your heart to hear scripture, absorb the sermon, and join us in prayer. Let's begin.
Would you pray with me? Loving God, on this Palm Sunday, when we hear about your disciples raising their palms in the air and spreading their cloaks on the ground, offering simple things for transformation, ushering in your kingdom, we ask that you would speak to us. Show how you can use even us and our gifts that we bring to do the same. May we sing praise to your name in all that we do, find comfort in you, find our strength in you, and move forward in boldness, proclaiming your good news. Bless us with your spirit so that whether through me or in spite of me, we all may hear your voice calling out to us, inviting us to follow and to find peace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Our first reading this morning is from the book of Psalm, Chapter 118, verses 19 to 23. If you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bible, it's page 565. Psalm is found in the Old Testament. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
Our second reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 29 to 44. If you're following along in the Pew Bibles, you can find that on page 83 of the New Testament, which, if you're not familiar with our Pew Bibles, the page numbering restarts with the New Testament, so sometimes that can be confusing. Starting in verse 29. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter the village, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. And they were untying the colt, and its owner asked, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus. And after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.' As he came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, if you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, and you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you and one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your salvation from God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This passage is actually a curious one to read on Palm Sunday. Because when you read carefully this passage, compared to the story of Palm Sunday in the other Gospels, there is one thing missing. Did you notice? There's not a single mention of the palms, of the raised cutting of the palms from the side of the road and waving them in the air and celebrating the king's arrival. Not a single one is mentioned in this story. There's no hosannas in this story. But what is present? Those cloaks, those personal garments, those items of value, these personal garments that people took off of themselves and placed them on the ground for a donkey, a colt to walk on, to welcome the king. This wasn't a red carpet event. It was a patchwork path of people's own possessions. Dirtied, trampled, used for the sake of Christ. These items of value that protected you from the elements, that covered any inner garments that you had and protected even those more valuable possessions, were all laid aside for the coming king. The cloak in the first century was more than just a jacket that you would wear. It was a sign of identity, of who you were, of protection, of warmth, of status. We're reminded of Joseph and his cloak that identified him as the favored son, that caused his brothers to cast him into a pit and sell him into slavery. Offering it up to be trampled, to be stepped on, was an act of vulnerability and costly in case it got ruined. Why does Luke focus on this where the other Gospels don't? It's because this story is not about the pomp and circumstance of a king's arrival, but about a Christ entering in on a lowly beast of burden in an unexpected way, and the disciples seeing it and remembering everything that Jesus had done, and out of that praising him, and them laying their cloaks before him. It's about people giving what they have, no matter how small, no matter how seemingly insignificant, giving it all for something bigger. What's missing isn't as important as what's present. Ordinary people laying down what they have to make a way for Jesus. But the gospel story is full of these small items, these small insignificant moments, these things that don't seem to make sense but provide profound significance. A widow gives up 2 coins and Jesus praises her. A boy gives up a couple of fish and 5 loaves of bread and it feeds 5,000. The kingdom is described as the small pearl of great value found in a field. The kingdom of God does not lie in the huge and extravagant and the grandeur of scale, but of surrender. It doesn't arrive with thrones or trumpets and beautiful white horses. that moves forward in small acts and given freely in an obedience. We all know, or at least if you know anything of the Christian story, that these celebrations on Palm Sunday do not last long. That while Christ is celebrated with people laying their cloaks on the ground and shouts of Hosanna, save us, by Thursday evening he is arrested, and by Friday afternoon he is crucified. And there are other crowds crying out for his crucifixion. This story, this passage, this triumphal entry is anything but. It points to David's entry into Jerusalem, the coming king that would establish a new reign. But Jesus' reign does not look like what other people expected. It looks like a king riding on a lowly beast, full of disciples, giving of what they have in simple surrender and obedience and welcome. The world may not notice what's going on. It may not change the world significantly as it's happening. But the world indeed will be changed. So what is your cloak? What is that you identify with, that sets you apart, that gives you status? What are you holding on to that could make the way for Jesus? Is it your time, resources, comfort, control, fear, anxiety, assumptions, pride? What keeps you from laying it down? What keeps you from placing it before Jesus? What keeps you from adding your gifts, your identity, yourself to kingdom work? What are you holding back? What are you holding on to so tightly that you're afraid to part with it? And are you willing? Are you willing and able to place it at the feet of Jesus to usher in the kingdom? I imagine this road covered with people's cloaks, like a patchwork quilt covering the way. One cloak would not have been enough. Like I said, it wasn't like a red carpet was unrolled and the whole road would be covered. But each person taking what they had, placing it onto the road before the colt, before Jesus, each step of the way, each new step that Jesus took riding, it took somebody else taking their cloak. One person could not do it. Two people could not have done it on their own. But everybody working together in that crowd saying, I want to be a part of this kingdom work that Jesus is ushering in, and I'm going to give my cloak to do it. This reminds us that God's kingdom is too vast and too great and too big of a challenge to challenge the powers and principalities of this world for any of us to feel like we can do it on our own or that we need to do it on our own. But instead, if we work together, giving of what we have, trusting that it's enough, trusting that it will bring in the kingdom, trusting that it will pave the way for Jesus' entry. This is the church. It's that communal act of surrender where everyone's gifts and everyone's sacrifices and everyone's time and everyone's presence matter, are needed. And the road into Jerusalem was not made by elite or powerful on that day. It was made by the faithful and humble, willing to take off their cloak and place it down. God builds his kingdom, God builds his church, not with a few grand gestures, but the steady faithfulness of all who belong. This is counter to what we find in the world, where we celebrate the big gifts, where we celebrate the things that stand out, where we celebrate the grandeur and pomp and circumstance. But God notices the small, magnifies it, multiplies it, transforms it, and uses it to make a way for the king. So I have for you this day a challenge and a promise. The challenge is, will you lay down your cloak? Will you risk something real for the sake of the gospel? Will you loosen your grip on the things that make you feel insecure or scared or make you feel secure? Will you lay down preferences? Will you lay down the things that you think things have to be? I've already talked about how the story of Palm Sunday ends in Jesus' crucifixion. But Jesus' crucifixion ends in resurrection and a promise of life everlasting, a promise that Christ will come again. And that is the promise I give you this day, that Jesus is still coming. He's coming to the broken, to the grieving. He's coming to the hopeful. He's coming to the searching. He's not demanding glory. He's not demanding huge gestures of praise and sacrifice, but simple faithfulness. Will we make a way where there seems to be no way? So let us together prepare the way of the Lord, one cloak at a time. So what will you lay down this week? Who needs your cloak? Not just of clothing, but of compassion, presence, your cloak of faith that will help others see who Jesus is. I hope you'll find something. And I hope you will prepare the way of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that you are always with us, that when we live in our doubts and our fears and insecurities, you are there calling out to us, speaking our name and saying we are enough. And wherever we are lacking, you will provide. Help us to trust in you, to lean into your grace, so that we might offer even those small gifts that we think are insignificant and unworthy to your kingdom cause. So that together, as your body, we may line the streets with our cloaks, with our gifts, with who we think we are and what we think we have, to prepare the way for your entry. We know that you are out in the world ministering to those who are sick, standing with the poor, the downtrodden, the forgotten, the ignored, the lost. And you invite us to follow you, to be a part of your work, redeeming, uplifting, challenging the powers of this world, and planting the seeds that will grow into your kingdom garden that we see at the end of Revelation. We long for that day when your justice will reign, when the earth will be organized according to your will, but we know that this world is so far from it. When the least and the lost are downtrodden, deported, made a scapegoat. When the needs of so many are ignored. When wars grow instead of ceasing. When people live in fear because of who they are, the color of their skin, their gender, or who they love. We have so far to go. And it's easy, oh God, to feel hopeless, to feel lost, to feel that the darkness is so great, and to wonder why bother. But in those moments, oh God, remind us of your Son, Jesus Christ, who bounced from hosannas to crucifixion, and from crucifixion to resurrection, who experienced joy and celebration and wept over the city of Jerusalem, who conquered death and rose again, showing us that the powers of this world and the darkness that seems so great cannot overcome your light that's shining through us as your followers. Help us to find hope in that, to trust in it, to let your light guide us and move us into a world that seems caught in darkness and hopelessness, and show that there is still hope and a better way in this world than what we've been living. Help us to be your hands and feet in a world that desperately needs it. When our strength fails, when our words fail, when it seems like our prayers are hollow, let us continue to trust in you, even when we can't muster the strength, and when we feel like we have no idea what to pray. Let us continue to pray the prayer that you taught your disciples so long ago. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of the Berwyn United Methodist Church audio podcast. As we transition to today's deep dive conversation, let's carry forward the message of simple acts of surrender and faithfulness from Luke 19:29-44. Remember, it is through these small everyday choices that we prepare a way for Jesus in our lives and in the world around us. We hope you found inspiration and a sense of community in our time together. If this message resonated with you, consider sharing this podcast with friends and family. We'd also love to hear how you're laying down your cloak this week, so feel free to connect with us on our social media platforms or our website. If you are ever in the Berwyn area or are looking for a place to connect with others on the same journey to work for God's kingdom, we hope you visit. You can find more information about Berwyn United Methodist Church and support our ministries at berwynumc.org. As we transition into a deep dive conversation about this week's message, our prayer is that you may go forward with grace and peace, lifting others up as you walk alongside them in faith. Take care and God bless.
You probably think you know the Palm Sunday story, right? The palms, the shouted.
It's a classic image, yeah.
But what if I told you one gospel, Luke's gospel, paints a really different picture? And, well, it might just hold a key for thinking about the next steps in your own faith journey.
It's fascinating, isn't it? That whole scene we picture, the green branches, the big hosanna, it's like almost missing in Luke. Makes you stop and think.
Totally. And that's what we're getting into today. We're doing a deep dive based on this audio clip, everycloakmatters.mp3, and exploring that exact difference.
Mm-hmm.
Because instead of palms, Luke zooms in on something, well, much more personal, something we think gives real insight into how, you know, how your faith can move forward.
Yeah, this isn't just some historical trivia.
Yeah.
Paying attention to what Luke does focus on, it helps us look past the maybe the spectacle,
right,
and get a more personal handle on what following Jesus actually involves. It's about maybe finding a fresh angle, one that could genuinely light up your own path of belief.
So our mission today, pretty straightforward. Let's unpack the meaning of the cloaks in Luke's account. How does this seemingly small detail hint at how we, each of us, can join in with God's kingdom and crucially take those next steps in faith?
Okay.
Okay, so let's dive in. The first thing, as we sort of said, is what's not there. No palms.
Right, the missing greenery. The audio source makes a big point of this. No waving branches, no shouts of Hosanna in Luke.
And the significance of leaving that out, it's huge, isn't it? It forces you to look at what is there instead.
Exactly. Luke's focus isn't the big public show the other Gospels maybe lean into.
Mm.
His angle feels much more intimate, more grounded in how individuals respond.
And that response, it's all about the cloaks. The audio clip really digs into what a cloak meant back then. It wasn't just, you know, fabric, was it?
Oh, not at all. The cloak was loaded with symbolism.
Uh-huh.
It was your identity, your status, your warmth, your protection.
Yeah.
Pretty much your well-being tied up in a garment. The source even mentions Joseph's cloak, remember? How it represented favor, status, and caused a whole lot of trouble. It shows how much meaning could be tacked into clothing.
So when people in Luke lay their cloaks down for the donkey, that's way more than just rolling out a carpet. It's a heavy gesture.
Absolutely heavy.
Yeah.
Laying down your cloak
yeah.
meant making yourself vulnerable, genuinely vulnerable. It was a potentially costly sacrifice. These were valuable items.
Right. They offered protection. Putting them on a dusty road.
To be trampled. Yeah, you risk ruining them. It wasn't a casual thing at all.
Okay, here's where, for me, it gets really fascinating. The speaker in the source suggests Luke uses the cloaks to shift the whole feeling of the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of some conquering king, you get Christ arriving humbly on a donkey. And it's the disciples, seeing everything Jesus had done, who react by laying down their cloaks and praising God.
And notice who's doing it. The source really stresses this. It was ordinary people giving what they have, regardless of how small or seemingly insignificant it might appear.
Ordinary people.
That feels like a core theme for Luke, doesn't it? It's not about power plays or grand gestures. It's about the sincere offerings of everyday folks responding to Jesus.
The audio paints this picture. It calls the road a patchwork path of people's own possessions. That image really sticks with me.
Yeah, me too.
It just highlights how personal each offering was. And they weren't like pristine items either. They were dirtied, trampled, used things given for the sake of Christ. That detail feels so important when we think about our own next steps.
That dirty, trampled, used part.
Yeah.
Wow, that hits home right. It speaks to our lives, what we actually have to offer. It's rarely perfect, rarely polished.
Exactly.
But it's ours, given from, you know, a real place, devotion. Recognition.
It really reframes how we think about contributing, especially when we're wondering, okay, what's my next step? The source then links this cloak thing to other gospel moments, small acts with huge meaning.
Right.
Can you remind us of some of those? How might they guide us?
Sure. There's the widow, remember, with her two tiny copper coins. Jesus said her gift meant more than all the rich people's offerings.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the boy with just a few fish and loaves.
Which fed thousands.
Exactly. Multiplied like crazy. And even the kingdom itself is compared to like a tiny pearl that's worth everything.
So what's the takeaway here for our faith journey? It feels like there's this consistent thread about the power of small surrendered actions, that these are what move God's kingdom forward and maybe move us forward too.
Precisely. The source argues that the kingdom's progress and, yeah, our own deepening faith, it doesn't just hang on the big dramatic moments.
Mm-hmm.
It's built on these individual acts of surrender, of obedience day in, day out. It's maybe a quieter, steadier way forward, built on lots of small yeses.
The audio also mentions the contrast, the big cheers on Palm Sunday, and then just days later, the arrest, the crucifixion. Why bring that up? What does that tell us about the cloaks and maybe about sticking with our own faith commitments?
It's crucial context, I think.
Mm.
It shows the real cost of following Jesus. That initial buzz, the celebration, it didn't last.
Mm.
Laying down a cloak felt big then, maybe. But the truly hard stuff, the real sacrifices, were still coming. It kind of underlines the sincerity needed, the cost involved, even in giving something small. True faith needs more than just that first burst of enthusiasm, right?
Yeah, that staying power. Which leads right to the core question for anyone listening, especially if you're thinking about your next steps. What is your cloak?
Mm-hmm.
The source asks that directly. It's anything you identify with, anything giving you status, protection, comfort. Can you give some real-world examples? What might that look like for us today, practically?
Okay, well, your cloak could easily be your time, how you spend it, what gets priority.
Yeah.
Be your money, your stuff, or maybe your comfort zone, the routines you cling to.
Oh, yeah, definitely relate to that one.
Or less tangible things like needing control, fear of being vulnerable, those nagging anxieties, even, you know, assumptions you hold about the world, about God, about yourself, pride too, that feeling of I've got this. That can be a heavy cloak stopping us from relying on God.
So the challenge becomes, what are you holding on to so tight that it's maybe stopping you from laying it down for Jesus, like the source says, stopping you from taking those next steps in kingdom work, in your own relationship with God?
Yeah.
What gifts, what parts of yourself are you maybe a bit hesitant to offer up?
It really requires some honest looking inward, doesn't it? As you think about your path, what do you really protect? Where does your security come from?
Mm-hmm.
Often those are the exact areas where letting go, laying down that cloak feels hardest.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also precisely where the growth, the transformation tends to happen.
I hate picturing that road, that patchwork quilt of cloaks. The source really hammers this idea that the kingdom and our own growth, it's not about one giant leap. It's the cumulative thing. Lots of people surrendering their bit. It makes taking the next step feel like something we do together.
That communal part is so key. Nobody does it alone.
Yeah.
Every single contribution, even if it feels tiny, it matters. It builds the path. It shows how connected we are in faith, all trying to move forward.
And this way of building through small, faithful acts,
mm-hmm.
it's so different from how the world measures success, isn't it?
Oh, completely. The world loves the big, the flashy, the monumental.
Yeah.
God's economy often seems upside down compared to that. The source points out that while the world might just ignore these small acts, God sees them. He values them. He uses them powerfully to get his work done and, you know, to shape us along the way.
So it boils down to the core challenge from the audio. Will you lay down your cloak? Are you willing to risk something real for the gospel, for your own spiritual growth? Can you loosen your grip on your securities, your preferences, to take that next step?
And tied right into that challenge is a huge promise, the source reminds us. Just like crucifixion led to resurrection, our acts of surrender, of faithfulness, even when they feel like they cost us something, they let us participate in Christ's ongoing arrival in our lives.
Mm.
He meets us right where we are, broken, grieving, hopeful, searching.
Yeah.
And he's not demanding some giant spectacle from us.
Yeah.
Just simple, steady faithfulness as we figure out those next steps.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, the question really comes back to you, the listener, thinking about your faith direction. What will you choose to lay down this week?
Mm.
And let's stretch that idea of cloak, like the source suggests. It's not just stuff. It could be offering your compassion, your presence, your actual cloak of faith to someone else who needs it, someone also trying to take their next steps.
What's really powerful is how ongoing this invitation is. It's not just about Palm Sunday back then. It's a daily chance, isn't it? A daily invitation to prepare the way of the Lord in our own lives and for others as we all try to grow.
The audio finishes with that really evocative line, "Let us together prepare the way of the Lord, one cloak at a time." It really pushes you to think, okay, who around me might need my time, my empathy, my help? How can I actually help make a way for Jesus in their life? And in doing that, move forward myself.
Yeah, looking at this familiar story through the lens of the cloaks,
mm-hmm.
it just opens up these deeper, continuous ways to engage with our faith. It's less about one big moment, maybe, and more about the steady, maybe even unseen, acts of surrender and love that build the path forward for us and for others. It definitely gives you something to chew on as you consider your next step, doesn't it? What difference could it actually make if we all just started looking for those little opportunities to lay down our cloaks, whatever they are?